This is Janelle Yates, Senior Editor of OBG Management, and I'm here at the 2012 PAGS meeting in Las Vegas with Dr. Amy Garcia. Dr. Garcia, you gave a talk on supracervical hysterectomy. Could you give us an overview of the indications for that procedure?
So I spoke on the laparoscopic supracervical hysterectomy, and is an approach where the upper portion of the uterus is removed, leaving the cervix in place. And most women who are really very good candidates for this procedure are women who, number one, desire to maintain their cervix. More and more women are educating themselves about really advantages having to do with getting back to work quicker, their activities, sexual activity, wanting to maintain that particular body part and keep what isn't necessary to remove with the diseased portion of the uterus, which is usually the fundus. And usually the indication is uterine fibroids. For hysterectomy, patients can be variably symptomatic from the fibroids, and leaving the cervix in place is an option for women who then will continue to get their routine pap smear screening, whatever that happens to be for them. The ovaries are generally left in place, especially in younger women, and so patients continue to get pelvic exams, and they're willing to do that. The additional requirement generally is that patients have adequate pelvic support, meaning that sometimes with vaginal deliveries, vaginal birth, there can be damage to tissues of the support structures of the bladder or of the uterus or even the rectum, and that in order to leave the cervix behind, which is really the anchor point for the support structures, these women need to have very adequate pelvic support. So that's one of the physical exam criteria I look for when offering patients a supracervical hysterectomy.
And are there any risks associated with a supracervical hysterectomy as opposed to total hysterectomy?
It's a good question regarding a surgical risk. Just in general, anytime we do laparoscopic surgery, there's always a risk, of course, of regardless of what type of surgery is being done, that patients end up with a larger incision or those other complications that are just nonspecific to the actual procedure but related to surgery itself. Related to leaving the cervix behind, there are a number of issues that I discuss with women. One is that because the uterus is separated from the cervix at a point generally about midway between the cervix itself, there's a possibility that some of the upper endometrium or lining of the uterine cavity will be left behind at the top of the cervix. I do take measures to remove that portion of the tissue at the top of the cervix so that the risk of that happening, at least in my practice, is less than 1%. However, if tissue is left behind, women will have spotting that occurs with their menstrual cycle, especially if their ovaries are left. That tissue generally is the tissue that is expelled during a menstrual cycle. So leaving any tissue behind will then cause some women to have spotting regularly, monthly, in timing with their menstrual cycle. So I have that conversation with women. There are ways to treat that for them if it happens. I have had women where that happens and they really have no problem with having, you know, spotting once a month compared to the type of bleeding symptoms that they had before the hysterectomy was performed. One of the risks of leaving the cervix behind is, of course, cervix cancer. The risk doesn't change, so whatever a woman's baseline risk for cancer is, and we know that human papillomavirus is the most significant risk, her risk just doesn't change, so she needs to be willing to continue her pap smear screening in order to prevent cervix cancer, just as she normally would. So again, while the risk doesn't increase, if she stops having her pap smears, then she's going to eliminate the ability to find an early cervix cancer. Regarding leaving the cervix, there are actually decrease surgical risks regarding damaging potentially the bladder, the ureter, which is bringing urine to the back of the bladder. Even potential risks like bleeding and infection are less because it's less surgical dissection that occurs by leaving the cervix, less bladder dissection. So women are able to urinate quickly and there's less chance of me actually damaging the bladder if I don't have to push the bladder so far away as I do when I remove the cervix. Also, the same is true for the ureters. I'm less likely to damage the ureters if I don't have to remove the cervix. So there are actually fewer surgical risks when the cervix is left behind. Less surgery also means less pain, and this is why women tend to be very active after the surgery. They get back to their lives very, very quickly, including intercourse, and can return to intercourse in 2 weeks versus what women have to wait about 6 to 8 weeks to have intercourse following removal of the cervix.
Do you have patients in your practice who specifically request supracervical hysterectomy?
So I do have women in my practice that are aware of a supracervical hysterectomy. They've either had friends that have had the surgery or they get on the internet and they do come informed and so do ask questions about whether or not they are candidates to have their cervix remain. When I give options to patients, depending again on their physical exam findings and their support to the top of the vagina and their history with normal pap smears, I do talk to them about the option of leaving the cervix behind versus having the cervix removed. And so if patients didn't know it was an option before their evaluation and consultation with me, very often they do choose to have a supracervical hysterectomy as they see the perceived benefits of less chance for surgical complications, a quicker return to their usual activities as a benefit, and they like the idea of being able to keep a body part that has a function, an organ that doesn't need to be removed as it's not generally part of the disease process, which is generally uterine fibroids or the uterus itself for abnormal bleeding or other indications. So very often patients will make that decision, but I have patients also who choose to have their cervix removed for various reasons, and I see my position as the educator and to help patients make the best decision that works for them, and very often that is a decision to leave their cervix behind.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia.